أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
وبيته الأكرمين الأكرمين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة بن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك ذوقاً وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد.
Some questions. First of all, is what parts of lady's body can be visible to non-mahram? It is only the face when you perform the wuzu and you wash your face. That part and the two hands to the wrist. Only these are permissible before the non-mahram, and they too without any zinat on it. Again, when it comes to zenith, the only exceptions are the ring finger, which is your wedding ring, that is exempted by the fuqaha. And again, when it comes to the second question, is that what form of kind of makeup can be applied to those visible parts? So when it comes to the hands, it's only that ring, the wedding ring, that is exempted. Nail polishes, they are not allowed. Before non-mahram, you can do it when it's a ladies' majlis, when it is a ladies' gathering of your mahrams, of your husband. But in front of others, that is not permitted. When it comes to the makeup, again, anything which attracts non-mahram, that is not permitted. Again, over here, what is exempted by the fuqaha is the facials which the ladies do, that is an exemption. If on top of that there are makeups that are applied which are attracting, that is haram, that is not allowed. Now over here Shaitan comes up with all these different types of rulings, temptations, excuses. It's a mild makeup, it's a normal makeup, all makeup is a makeup. Whether it's mild, whether it's normal, whatever it is, we know for ourselves what is wrong is wrong. The other thing is in the congregation prayers, in Jama'at prayers, when it comes to connection, in that same saf, in that same line, when the men are standing, women, they cannot stand in the same line. Whether it's a congregation prayer, whether it's at home, if you want to say your prayer, then you are standing. Your mahrams or your non-mahrams, they cannot stand next to you and say their prayers with you. Even if it's farada. If they do that, the men, their prayers are okay, women, it will be batil. So if you want to say your prayers behind men, women, they have to be behind the men. If they want to say the prayers together, they have to be a few steps behind men, even if it's farada. In any case, whether it's jama'at, whether it's farada, ladies, they cannot stand in the same line when they want to say their prayers. Over here, when you have got these congregation prayers, now I see that you leave a big blank line, a saf, so that women are behind that saf. That is also not required. So women, they can stand immediately behind men. If the first two sufuq are for men, the third one can be for women. You don't need to leave a gap with some children in there and the fourth one for women. No, that's not required. They can stand immediately behind men in the third saf. That is, again, for jama'at prayers. When it comes to starting the prayers, again, this mas'ala, it's wrongly interpreted, that they say that imam has to say takbiratul ihram, Allahu Akbar, the opening of the prayers, and the first one behind him, and then the one behind him, they have to say, and then that's how the connection goes. That is, again, not required. When you find that the entire congregation is ready to say their prayers, and the imam has said the takbir, anyone can say takbir. Even the person last in line in that congregation, he can also say that takbir if he sees that the entire congregation is ready to say their prayers. If you go after that rule that the one behind the imam has to say and the one behind that, if there is a large crowd, for example, like the Haram or like Masjid al-Haram or Masjid al-Nabi, where the crowd is in millions, by the time people say their takbir, namaz is done. So when you find that the entire congregation is ready, say your takbir and you are fine, you are okay. The other thing is that, just a reminder, because we are approaching greater nights, inshallah. This month again is the month of dua, and we all have a lot of du'as, a lot of wishes. So what you do is that you consolidate all your du'as, whatever you have, list them, have them in your mind. And whenever in these majalis you find that your heart breaks or your eyes they shed tears, that is the place where your connection has been created with the Almighty. Have your du'as, wishes ready. Whenever your heart breaks, just double click on that hyperlink and you will get your adhan granted. So instead of listing your du'as once your heart breaks, that's going to take a long time. So have everything ready, and the same thing is for Laylatul Qadr. Have your wishes ready, and inshallah, whenever you find that opportunity, just double click. Coming back to our topic, and that is Shias in the view of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. It was mentioned yesterday that Imam in that hadith, he says that the first, if you want to check who the Shias are, says that the first quality of these Shias, check them at the time of prayer. How they behave, how they take care of these prayers. And the second thing is that how they take care of our secrets, of our asrar. Do they take care of their religion? Do they protect it or not? And the third one which Imam mentioned was Muwasat. Muwasat is that they deal with others as they deal with themselves. That is, their possessions, their wealth, their riches, whatever Allah has given to them, they give that exactly as they serve themselves. So that is Muwasat. The other thing which Imam mentions over here is that deen of yours, you have to take care of it, you have to protect it. When it comes to deen, there are certain things that we have to be careful, that we have to mind our own business first of all. May that be in our usul-e-deen, may that be in furu-e-deen. In all of these teachings and commandments that we have, the rules of amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, they apply. For example, if I see someone in the sacred month munching or chewing his lips, for example, I don't say that don't do that, it's haram and your fast is batil. I have the right to do that. If I see that he is chewing his lips, and if I say the mas'ala to him, it will be beneficial for him, then I say that. But if I have the faintest knowledge that if I say and it's going to backfire, then it's not batil for me. So this is again with regards to usul, with regards to furu, that the rules of amr bil ma'ruf, they apply. If I see someone doing wrong, then if I have that feeling or understanding by telling him it's going to be beneficial, I say. And if I don't have that sensation, I don't say. That is, we have to be careful. Now over here, when it comes to deen, the faith of every individual, we don't know what is inside myself, what is inside yours. We have riwayat, for example, this hadith, because the grades that we have in iman of every person, it's different. Even Quran, if you look into it, it is not as such that Allah, He has classified the heaven into three categories, economy, business, and first class. No. Allah says in Quran that mu'minun hum darajat, that every mu'min is a rank for himself. That is, every mu'min, he has a rank for himself. He himself is a rank, the Quran says. In this hadith saying, it says that لَوْ عَلِمَ أَبُو ذَرْ مَا فِي قَلْبِ سَلْمَانِ لَقَتَلَهُ. Now Abu Zar, Salman, they are the best of the companions of the Prophet. Here says that if Abu Zar knew what is in the heart of Salman, he would have killed him. So that is again, when it comes to the deen, because everyone has his own level of understanding and knowing God in the prophethood, in the hereafter. We may be in the elementary level, but someone who is high up, when he looks at our performance, he will say that it's all filthy, it's all sins. And when we look at their performance, we will say that they are all mad, insane. So all these are different levels which we cannot perceive each other. So we have to mind our own business, whatever we can understand. Stick to it, but try to move forward as much as it is possible. That we have to do. There is a hadith, it says that if you were to travel as much as 50 years, that is, if you were to wait for 50 years and get to your destination to learn something, Imam says that do it. That is, wait for 50 years and then get to your destination, or travel for those 50 years and get to your destination. Now, by that time, I'm an old man. Imam says it doesn't matter. Even if you were to do that, do it. Because when you get to that destination and get to that mentor of yours, ustad of yours, teacher of yours, and when he teaches you whatever you've lost in those 50 years, overnight you will get it. So that is ma'rifah, that is education when it comes to teaching. Now, continuation of the same qualities, that is, Shias in the view of Ma'sumin alayhi salam. Here, salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam says that innama shi'atu aliyyin ash-shahibun an-nahidun al-dhabilun. Now all these qualities that are being mentioned, maybe none of them exist in the speaker. Just to get an acquaintance and find what we have and to get closer and closer to them. Imam says, among the qualities of the Shias, that when you look at them, they are pale, they are skinny, their lips, they are parched, that is dry lips, hungry and with dry lips. Now these dry lips, we can experience them in the sacred month of Ramadan by fasting. If you find that our lips, they get dry. Over here it says that these Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen, their lips are dry all the time, that is, they are fasting and they are awake in worship during the night. Continues and says that when they have relaxed, that is, they have a little rest, a little nap, when they get up, they are in sajda, that is, they are in worship. When it comes to worship again, so much of importance has been given to that. That is, Quran says, the reason why Allah has created and opened this entire creation, says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah created man and jinn for the sake of servitude, for the sake of worship. Now worship doesn't always mean that only fasting, only praying, only du'as. It could be anything. Even your work, even your studies, even if you serve at home, even if you clean your homes, wash dishes, cook food. If you have that intention of qurbatan ilallah, you will be rewarded for that. And even if you don't have that intention of qurbatan ilallah, still it is a worship. Because you are serving the humanity, serving the creation of Allah. And smart are those who have an arrangement with Allah, because we are forgetful. The more busy we get, the more forgetful we get. That we have an arrangement with Allah, that whatever I do Allah, it will be qurbatan ilallah. Like these direct deposit arrangements we have with the bank, it is deposited on time. We say, Allah, whenever I do something, start doing something, it is qurbatan ilallah for you. Even if I don't have that intention of qurbatan ilallah, yet it is going to be for you. Again, says Imam, that among the qualities of the Shias, إِذَا جَنَّهُمُ اللَّيْلِ اتَّخَذُوا الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. When the night falls, these Shias, they take their prayer mats as their place of worship. اتَّخَذُوا الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. That is, when they are at night, they sit in worship. وَاسْتَقْبَلُوا الْأَرْضَ بِجِبَاهِمْ. That is, they worship in prayers before Allah when everyone is asleep. Again, this is something that we have to look into, that how shaitan distorts everything for us. Allah says in Quran that وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا. That Allah says we have made the night a means of relaxing for you so that you are comforted. If I don't sleep at night and sleep all the day, you find that still a person is tired and he will not get that night sleep at all, no matter how much he sleeps during the day. But in the night, if he sleeps for a few hours, if he couldn't get that full 5-6 hours sleep, only for 2 hours sleep, that will suffice for him to survive during the day. But if he's awake all night, wants to sleep all day, still he will be tired. What shaitan does over here is that because Allah says night is for you to rest, that is, when you rest and then you get up and in worship before Allah, occupies the night in a way that children, the young, the adolescents, everyone is awake all night on these chat rooms, on the internet, on these movies, films, etc. So night is gone and automatically a person is distanced from Allah. Allah says night is for you to rest and then to worship me. But shaitan, he tempts in that beautiful way and drives us away from Allah. So we have to be smart. We, when it comes to deen and religion, we think that it's only the faza'il, the virtues, the merits that we have to know. That is namaz, fast, ahlul bayt. But what we are mistaken over here is that first and foremost we have to see who our enemy is. Quran says that when you want to start reading Quran, say A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem first. That first put that shaitan away and then say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or if you look into this Yar al-Ashura which we recite, we say Allahumma al-an awwal al-dhalil al-dhalil al-haqqa Muhammadin ma'ala Muhammad. Curses be to all of those who stood against the Imam, who fought the Imam. Then we say As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. That is, enemies should be known. Who our enemy is. So our enemy is shaitan. We have to know. A'da aduwaka nafsaka allati bayna jambayk. The worst of your enemies is that nafs which is inside you and which is within yourself. Or elsewhere in this hadith Qudsi, Allah says that shaitan, he's so close to you, it's like that blood which is flowing in your veins, shaitan is so close. Now someone who is so close to us, fighting him is also tough. That is why Rasulullah says that is jihad al-akbar, fighting your shaitan, your soul which is in yourself. So Imam over here says that among the qualities of these Shias, if you want to know who they are, look at them at night. That is, when the night falls, what do? That is, they wake up and they stand in worship before Allah. Again, Quran says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. That Allah has made this night a cover. And that again, it's a miracle. No one else but Allah can do it. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا. And that he has made this sleep of yours at night a rest. وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا. And he made the day for you to rise up again. That is, day is for work, night is to sleep and rest. Quran has got the term layl repeated 20 times in different contexts. That is, the night has been created by the divine wisdom of Allah and it has been made a cover. And this is possible only by the might and the qudrat of Allah Jalla Ba'ala, and no one else can do it. Again, if you look into the night, how night is being used today by shaitan, it's to stand against Allah, to move away from Allah, to distance ourselves from Him. But Quran says that Quran was revealed at night. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. In the night. When it comes to Rasulullah, when he ascends to the heavens, in the 17th surah, first ayah says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan. That glory be to him who took his prophet from that mosque to the other mosque when at night laying. Or for example, says that, you've got a chapter in Quran which is Surah Al-Layl. That is an entire chapter. That night is important. And at night, says that, فَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. Get up, even for a little while, and bow down in sajda before Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala. Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Qazi Tabarawai, he says, the blessings that are bestowed on an individual at night, they are so much, huge, immense, that get up and say a few raka'at of prayers. If you cannot do that, he says, at least get up and have a cup of tea at that time. Because at least you are not missed out of all those special favors of Allah. Just a few minutes before Fajr, sit and, if you don't feel like reciting Quran, if you don't feel like praying, just sit and have a cup of tea. Now all these great personalities, when they say something, it is a fact. And he, when we talked about on-time prayers yesterday, he says that if someone prays on time, that those ranks that Allah has kept for every individual, he can get to them. He says that if you pray on time, and if you don't get onto those ranks, spit on me. That is, the great Arif says those words. So coming back to the saying, glorious saying of Ma'soom regarding the Shias, now he says that كَثِيرٌ سُجُودُهُمْ وَكَثِيرَةٌ دُمُوعًا. That is, their sajdas, they are a lot. Sajda is one of those best positions, best halat stations, which Allah loves to see His servant in. Imam says, a Shia of Imam Ali, he performs sajdas a lot. And then says, they shed tears a lot. Now shedding of tears, again, that is a great favor and blessing that is bestowed upon some of the servants of Allah, that when they sit on their prayer mat, they talk to the Lord, they shed tears. And all these are teachings, a lesson to myself first. Says, كَثِيرٌ دُعَاءُهُمْ كَثِيرٌ بُكَاءُهُمْ. That their du'as are a lot. These mu'mineen, followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Shias, they have a lot to recite. Du'as a lot. They cry a lot. يَفْرَحُ النَّاسِ وَهُمْ مَحْزُونُونَ. You find that people, they are happy, jolly. وَهُمْ مَحْزُونُونَ. But when it comes to the Shias of Ahlul Bayt, you find them, they are always reserved. They are always mahzoon. Mahzoon means sad. Well, once I was in LA, just maybe 2 years ago, someone met me on the day of Arba'een. He says that, why do you talk so much about being buka, mourning for Allah, Abdullah? And it's the teaching here, which is from Hollywood, is that you have to be happy, you have to be jolly. Because if you don't be happy and jolly, it's going to make you depressed. Why do you say that we have to cry so much? We have to cry for Allah. What do you say? I said to him, sit in this corner and said, cry for 1 hour, everything will be fixed in your system. So crying is good. We have to cry. That heart of ours has to break. It has to cry. Unless it secretes that tear, you find that you will never be fixed. Quran says that even a stone, if you look into it, stone, rock hard, says it breaks and then streams they flow from that rock. So are we harder than a rock? Or for example, Imam continues in these sayings and says that Kharaj, that is in Imam, when he comes, Imam al-Mu'min, he comes out of his house heading towards the masjid. Kharaj dhaka laylatin min al-masjid wa kanat laylatan qamra. It was one of these nights when we had the full moon. Some of the followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Jama'atun, they stopped Amir al-Mu'mineen, فَوَقَفَ عَلَيْهِ. Imam also stood. They stopped Amir al-Mu'mineen, he also stands. ثُمَّ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْتُمْ. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, who are you? In reply, they say that, قَالُوا شِيَعَتُكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Amir al-Mu'mineen, we are your Shias. فَتَفَرَّسَ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ. Imam looks at them, gazes at them, and then says that ثم قال فما لي لا أرى عليكم سيما الشيعة. But how is that? You claim that you are Shias, but I don't see any signs of Shias in your face. And then they say ما سيما الشيعة يا أمير المؤمنين. What are the signs of the Shias, يا أمير المؤمنين? Imam says صفر الوجوه من السعر. من السعر. That is, you find them pale. How is that pale? Because they are awake and worship at night. And then says, Umshul Ayun min Bukha. You find their eyes as if they are dark, with all these dark heads on their eyes due to the excessive crying that we have. And then says, Hadbud Duhur min al Qiyam. You find them hunched. So much they have stood in worship before Allah that they are hunched. and then continues and says that with those dry lips of theirs, and that too due to those excessive du'as that they have. Or for example, when it comes to the qualities of Shias, our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salam, Sulaiman says that, I went to see the sixth Imam, and few of the Shias, they were present in that majlis. Imam was giving them a nasiha, an advice. And then says, Imam says to the Shias, that is, ma'ashir al-Shia, kunu lana zaynan, wa la takunu alayna shayna. That is, if you are my Shias, be a means so that I am proud of you, so that I boast that you are my followers. Don't be a disgrace for me. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَاحْفَذُوا أَلْسِنَتَكُمْ. That is, when you speak, speak good. Don't swear at each other. Don't yell at each other. وَاحْفَذُوا أَلْسِنَتَكُمْ. Protect your tongue. Protecting this tongue, not swearing at others, all these are again among those great teachings that we have. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person, he comes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, this deen that you have brought forth with all these commandments in it, fasts, prayers, Hajj, Zakat, Jihad, so on and so forth. He says that, Ya Rasulullah, out of this entire package of your being, it's only one item that I can do, and that is just prayers. And when it comes to prayers, he says, it's only the wajib prayers I can do, nothing more, not even the mustahab prayers. When you ask me to do two rak'ahs of mustahab prayers, I like to go and have a nap, that is more enjoying to me. So, he says that, will I go to the heaven with you or not? Or will I be blessed with that heaven or not? Then he says, you ask me to fast. He says, look at me, my health, I cannot fast. He says, you want me to go for Hajj, I cannot. I have got no funds. That istidaat, I do not have no funds, no help, nothing, I cannot travel. He says, you want me to go for Jihad. I cannot carry a sword. I cannot perform jihad. I cannot fight. And then he says, you want me to fast? I cannot fast. So with all this, and you want me to pay zakat and khums, he says, I'm so poor, no savings at all, no zakat, and no khums. So what will happen to me? Will I never get into the paradise? Rasulullah says, observe three things. If you do those three things, you will be with me, next to me in the paradise. He says, what is that? He says, the first thing you do is that you protect your tongue. That is, keep it clean. Keep it clean, not with these mouthwashes. Keep it clean, but don't swear at others. Don't lie with that tongue. Don't backbite with that tongue. All those sins that have been listed that are performed easily with the tongue, don't do them at all. And then he says that, the second thing, protect your belly. Nothing haram gets into it. If you protect your belly, that is, no matter what the circumstances are, even if you are desperate, you are hungry, you can't get anything which is halal to feed yourself, still you have to stick to that plan of Allah, don't go towards haram. Says, no matter what the circumstances are, even if you are at school, work or college, and only that haram munch of sandwich is available, he says, don't do it. Protect your belly, and then he says that protect your private parts. That is, that lust, that shahwat that Allah has given to you, protect it from haram. He says, if you protect these three things, that is, your tongue, your belly, and your private parts, you will be with me, next to me, in the heaven, in the paradise. A simple plan that Rasulullah mentions to that person who couldn't do anything, just friends. Coming back to our topic, that is Shias in the view of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Imam says, now, like Quran, the sayings of Ma'sumin alayhi salam, they too have these different criteria of Shias, of Muhib, that is, when it comes to the Shias, we find riwaya which say that don't say that you are a Shia, but say you are a Muhid. Because Shia, that is a big title. If you don't possess these qualities, some riwayat say that you deserve a punishment because you claimed a false claim. Some of the riwayat are so strong. Over here says that. There are three conditions how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protects the Shias. Says Shias are under the protection of Allah, protected by their enemies. Nothing would harm them if they observe three things. That is, if they observe these three things, they would be recognized as Shias too. First of all, they must correct their relationship with Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, with the Creator. That is, we have to have a good, healthy relationship with our Creator, who is our Lord. مَا أَحْسَنُ النَّذَرْ لِأَنفُسْهِمْ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ خَالِقِهِمْ. They must think carefully and see how their relationship is with God. That is, do I fulfill the rights of my Creator or don't I? Secondly, says that he has to correct his relationship with his Imam. That is, Ma'soom, we have to have a sincere and a healthy relationship with the Imam. Again, this too, it's a very lengthy topic. It shouldn't be as such that when we are stuck and we find no way out, we knock the door of Ma'soomin, and when we are done, we forget them. Or in the American language, we hire them and then we fire them. That, God forbid, is a bad relationship. That when we are stuck, if I need their help, if I need our du'as to be accepted, only then I come to them. Although that is also not bad, that we have that faint and that weak relationship with the Imam, but a healthy relationship is that no matter what the circumstances are, we stick with them, we stay with them. Now, when we correct our relationship with the Imam, Allah says that I will protect the Shias. Now, is he under every circumstances obedient to the Imam? We have to look into that. That is, no matter what the circumstances are, that obedience to that Imam has to be there. That is, if Imam comes and he slices an apple into two, and he says, this side of the apple is halal for you to consume, this side is haram, I listen to him, I obey him. I don't say why, it's that same apple that you have sliced into two. Why did you say this is haram, that is halal? Because it is the command of the Imam, we have to abide by that command, regardless of what it is in reality. Because it's the command of the Imam, we have to be obedient to him. And we have to train ourselves to be obedient to the Imam so much, so that when the Imam returns, it is easier for us to obey him. And when it comes to obedience, it is said to us, if we are obedient to our parents, it will be easier for us to be obedient to the Imam. If we are disobedient to our parents, definitely we will be disobedient to the Imam. Because all these are in levels and grades and categories. That is, you've got your parents, you've got that Imam, you've got the Mujtahid, you've got that Marja, you've got that, and so on and so forth. All these different levels and categories that we have. But if we fail in the first step, definitely we fail in all the other steps that are above that. So obedience has to be there. Quran has an ayah, says that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. That all those who believe, اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ, that is, respond to the call of Allah and His Prophet. That is, when Allah invites you, when He calls you, it is because He wants to give you life. That is, if you respond to the call of Allah, to the Prophet, if you are obedient to them, you will be living, you will gain life. لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. During the time of Rasulullah was in a majlis, and there was a person offering his prayers. He was saying his prayers, Rasulullah says, hello you, listen. He continues with his prayers. Once again Rasulullah says, calls him. he does not respond to Rasulullah, continues with his prayers. For the third time, again the same thing. When he completed his prayers, Rasulullah said that, I called you. He says, Rasulullah, didn't you see me? I was praying. Rasulullah says that God who asked you to pray has asked you to be obedient to me. When it comes to obedience to the Imam, when it comes to obedience to Rasulullah, obedience first, prayers become secondary. Because that prayer again was brought forth by Rasulullah. Or to understand this in even easier and simpler words, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam,
Rasulullah, he buys an armor from one of the Jews in Medina. The next day he paid. The same day when he bought that armor, he did not pay him. The next day Rasulullah pays him. And then he comes into the streets of Medina after a few days, the Jew, the seller. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, you haven't paid me for that armor which you bought from me. Rasulullah says, yes, I did. I paid you the next day. The same day I did not. He says, no, you did not. Do you have any witnesses? Rasulullah says, I have no witness. And he also hasn't got any receipt that he has paid. And then there's a dispute between the Prophet and this Jew. There was a person passing by. Rasulullah says, stop. We want you to judge between us. That is, there's a dispute. I bought an armor from him. I paid him the next day. He says, I haven't. And I haven't got any witness, and there is no proof. Now this person who wants to act as a judge, he uses the same ruling which Rasulullah has taught them. And the ruling is, Al-Bayyinatu lil-Mudda'i wal-Yameenu 'ala man ankar. That is, the person who claims, he has to bring forth an evidence, witness, and the person who is declining it, he says, he swears an oath. He says, okay, Rasulullah, do you have any witness? Says, no. He has to swear an oath. He says, I'm ready to swear 1,000 oaths that the Prophet hasn't paid me. And then he says, this is not right. Rasulullah says, this wasn't right, this judgment. Amir al-Mu'mineen was passing from there. Rasulullah says, Ya Ali, stop. I want you to judge between us, and this is the dispute. He says, what is the dispute, Ya Rasulullah? He says, I bought an armor from him, I paid him the next day. He says, I did not pay, and he's asking for witnesses and proofs, which I don't have. Amir al-Mu'mineen takes his sword out and beheads that Jew instantly. Everyone in the market, they get together, what was this? What did you do, Ya Ali? Why did you kill him? He says, the Rasulullah says, Ali, you explain to them what was the reason. Why did you behead him? He says, Rasulullah, you brought forth this Quran. Did we ask for a witness from you? That what are these verses of Quran? You said to us to offer our prayers 5 times. Did we ever ask you, well, what is the witness, what is the proof? You said we accepted blindly. Now that you say that I have paid, why do we need any witnesses? That was the reason, because he stands against the Prophet, he needs that punishment. So, when it comes to obedience, obedience to the Imam has to be to the max. That is, if for example, Imam Al-Asr, Ajjalallahu ta'ala, comes here today, and we want to meet him, we want to come closer to him, we want to kiss his hand, and if he says, go, leave, we can't stand and say that, Imam, please, please allow us. His command is to leave, leave. Although we love him, we want to be with him, but when he says go, we have to go. And that is what we have to teach ourselves, that is obedience, height of obedience, maximum obedience, and this time, which is Laylat al-Kubra, it will be lengthened and increased so much until mu'mineen, they become good mu'mineen, so that obedience becomes easy for them. That is, no matter what the instructions are for them, to tolerate and to bear those instructions of the Imam becomes simple. And the third quality which Imam mentions over here, first says that correct your relationship with your God, with your Creator, Second, correct your relationship with your imam. And third, he says that correct your relationship with the fellow mu'mineen, with the fellow Shias. That is, when they are in need, help them. Be with them in good attitude, with good akhlaq. وَبَرُّوا أَخْوَانَهُمْ فَعَتَفُوا عَلَىٰ ضَعِيفِهِمْ وَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَىٰ ذِلْفَاقَةِ مِنْهُمْ. Those who are in need, help them. Those who are poor, feed them. And those among your brothers, be kind to them. Says that إِنَّا لَا نَأْمُرُ بِظُلْمٍ وَلَكِنَّا نَأْمُرْكُمْ بِالْوَرَعِ بِالْوَرَعِ بِالْوَرَعِ. Again, this is a beautiful teaching that we have over here. That Imam says that we never instruct our Shias to be zalim, to oppress others, to be rude to each other, to do wrong towards each other. We never do that. We never invite our Shias to be terrorists, in easier language, in today's language. Inna la na'muru bi-zulmin. Zulm is distant, it's away from Shias. Walakinna na'murukum bil-wara'i, bil-wara'i, bil-wara'. But we instruct our Shias to have this wara. Wara is that highest level of taqwa. Taqwa means to move within that framework and do and don't which Allah has set for you, within the parameters that He has set. That you move within that. And wara is even higher than that. Imam says we instruct our Shias to that level. And then says, wal muwasat bi ikhwanihim. That we want them to live a livelihood that their brothers, the fellow Shias, the mu'mineen, for them they are like their own selves. So much of emphasis in helping each other, especially the Shias, as if they are your own brothers, as if the friends of Allah are always few. Why is that? Friends of Allah are always few, and we have to help and support each other, and we should never disregard and overlook each other. Again, Imam continues that as our Shias are few and are in minority, they need help and support. And if you do not help them, you will not be able to continue with your own livelihood. فَإِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَزَالُوا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ قَلِيلِينَ مُنْدُ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ. That our awliya, our friends, our Shias, they are always in the minority, not today. Since Allah created Adam from them. Now, this is the touching and turning point over here. Imam says that our Shias, now we've got all these different ideas that are floating around among the mu'mineen, among the Shias. Some say that we are a low-profile Shia. That we just stick to just some of the things that we have to stick to. We don't do all of it. When it comes to hijab, when it comes to all the other rituals, they do the prayers, yes, they fast. Everything else is lacking. In one of these weddings that was observed over here, it was a mess. The messing of the two genders, it was all a mess. One of the guests, he walks out of that majlis, the host also was upset that because he was a near relative. He says, why did you walk out? He says, at seeing this mess, and assuming if Imam al-Asr comes today, what answer do you have to give him? He says, 1400 years have passed, he hasn't come. He hasn't come now. When he comes, we'll see. So that is bad. That is disrespectful. That is something wrong in our system, that we are saying these things so easily. Imam says that, قَالَ لَيْسَ مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا مَنْ يَكُونُ فِي مِسْرٍ يَكُونُ فِيهِ آلَافٌ وَيَكُونُ فِي الْمِسْرِ أَوْرَعُ مِنْهِ. Very shocking. Imam says, if you are living in a town and there are thousands of Shias, and Imam says, if there is someone the most pious in that town, then you will not be classified as a Shia. Shias, they have to compete each other in being pious. That we have to try our best to get to that highest level. We just can't stick to that elementary and economy class level and don't move to the first class. Imam says, if that category is present over there, you have to try and move even further and get along even further. If not, then you cannot be, your claim of you being a Shia is a false claim. Quran says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. That is, when it comes to khayrat, when it comes to doing good, don't sit and wait for others to do it. It says, if you've got that ability, you step forward, you do it. If there are slippers and shoes that are scattered around, that is a khayr, that you put them together. That don't wait for someone else to come and do it. If there's something that has been that is making a mess over you, you pick it and throw it in the bin. Don't wait for someone else. That is khayrat, khayrat, and that low level, whatever you can do. Or when it comes to azan, if you can say that azan in a better way, say it. One more reminder to the brothers who say azan over here, it's good. But when you say that azan, just don't start it with that Allahu Akbar. Have something as an introduction to it, either a salawat or la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. If you can't, then subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa Allahu Akbar. Have a little introduction to that azan and then start with your azan. Just starting it, Allahu Akbar, it's just a start without any introduction. Although what you're doing is good, you want to make it better. For that better, have something as an introduction to that azan. Again, do I have time?
Yes.
Again, Imam over here says that Salman and Abu Dharr, they are the best of the companions of Rasulullah. The livelihood they had, the way they lived, that was the height of that Iman which they possessed. Salman is someone who was a convert, who wasn't even a born Muslim, who embraces, becomes a Muslim, comes so close and so high in Iman that Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayhi
wasallam.
If she on a day doesn't see Salman, she gets upset, she is worried that where is Salman? Why didn't I see him today? That he says that Salmanu minna ahl al-bayt. That is, Salman is part of our family. Says over here that if Salman and Abu Dharr, they were resurrected before us, for example, if they were resurrected before us, we would tell them that these guys, they are insane, aliyahs billah, they are mad the way they live. The qualities of Shias to the max when they possess, when they act in accordance to that. Or for example, in the same continuation, Imam mentions the qualities of the 313. 313 are the men who will be among the immediate men and women who will be among the immediate associates of the Imam when he returns. That is, Imam al-Asr, he has a cabinet of 313. Of which riwayat say that 50 of them are women. Some riwayat say that a few of them are women. Regardless, there are women in the cabinet of the Imam. That is, from those 313 who are the most perfect Shias, the most perfect mu'mineen, some of them are women. Imam says that if today we had Shias of that caliber, that is, of that highest caliber, then Imam would return. And whatever the arrangement and the assignment given to him would have been fulfilled. The reason why that is not being fulfilled is that Shias of that caliber, they are not present. And then says, أَنَّهُ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ بَعْضُ أَصْحَابِهِ فَقَالَ لَهُ جَعَلْتُ فِيهَا إِنِّي وَاللَّهُ أُحِبُّكَ وَأُحِبُّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ يَا سَيِّدِي مَا أَكْثَرَ شِيَعَتِكَ فَقَالَ لَهُ اذْكُرْهُمْ. Some people come to the Imam and they say that, may I be sacrificed unto you, Ya Imam. How many Shias do you have? Imam says, how many? He says, a lot. Imam says, count them. He says, we cannot count them. They are numerous. We cannot even count them. They are so many. Imam in reply says, you say they are so many. If that adad, which is 313, if you counted and listed 313 Shias, that would be sufficient, and our Hujjah, he would return, he will start his Mishnah. Continues, وَلَكِنْ شِيَعَتُنَا مَنْ لَا يَعْدُ سَوْتُهُ سَمْعَهُ. Among the other qualities of the Shias is that their speech, when they talk, their ears can hardly hear. They want to say, he wants to say that they don't yell at each other when they want to communicate. They are polite, kind, in a low voice. وَلَا شَحْنَاهُ بَدَنَا. And they are not a burden on others in the society. وَلَا يَمْدَحُ بِنَا غَالِيًا. They do not perform غُلُوف. غُلُوف means talking very loud about Maksumeen, bringing them, God forbid, to the rank of the existence of Allah, as the Nusayris did, that they used to say, Aliyaz Billah, Ali is God. That's all that is wrong. Imam says, our Shias never elevate us to that level. وَلَا يَمْدَحُ بِنَا غَالِيًا. لا مفرط ولا مفرط ولا يخاصم لنا وليا. They do not ascribe the titles of Allah to them. And with those who talk bad about us, they do not sit. This again is a lesson to us that there has to be a total segregation between us and the enemies of Allah, between us and the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. That is, Quran says, Allahu waliyyul ladheena amanu wal ladheena kafaru awliya'uhum at-taghut. On one side we have awliya Allah, on the other side we have awliya al-shaytan. Imam says that with awliya al-shaytan you have to have a total segregation. You can't sit with them, you can't be with them. Or for example, this burning of Quran which took place a few months ago, and then you had this program on Fox News, and you had everyone seated over there. Imam says that someone who opposes us, who stands against us, you have no right to sit with them. You cannot sit with them, you cannot communicate with them, you cannot talk with them. That total segregation, that total disassociation has to be with them. Those who talk bad about us, they don't sit and take and talk with them. وَلَا يُحِبُّ لَنَا مُبْغِضًا. And they do not like our enemies. وَلَا يُبْغِضْ لَنَا مُحِبًّا. They don't hate those who love us. Again, this is another lesson that we have to keep in mind, that among the Shias, among the Mu'mineen, there are many people who there is a lot of wrong. When there is a lot of wrong in other Mu'mineen, what do I do? Do I declare war with them? We have no right to do that. For example, if someone does a sin openly, I have to declare and my enmity with that sin, not with that mu'min. Or when it comes to kuffar, who are against Ahlul Bayt, who are against Allah, they too do good. But what do I do? Again, I have to love the good they do, but with them I have to have the disassociation with hatred. With mu'min it's the same. If someone is doing wrong, I have to be unhappy with the wrong he does, not with that mu'min himself. I'll continue, inshallah. May Allah ta'ala help us in understanding these great sayings and applying these teachings of Maksumeen onto ourselves. And may He, Jalla Ba'ala, help us in this difficult path that we are on, and keep us steadfast and firm on this path of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. For all those who are ill and ailing, for all those who have requested for du'as, for all those who have passed away, for our children, for our progeny, for our ancestors, for all of them, for the hastening of the return of the Imam, for us to be enlisted and counted among his best servants, among his best noble people, and all those who seek martyrdom in his service, allow salawat.